Today's April 1st, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $69,126.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Man, you know what? I sold all my Bitcoin today.
Is that right?
I did. I got rid of it all. I said, I'm done with this. That's it. It's topped out. It's not doing it anymore.
We should have discussed this before we did it. you know, I put mine all into, what is it, Bitcoin VST?
Satoshi's vision.
I think Craig Wright's really got things going.
He is the Messiah. Know?
Yeah, I expect here shortly I can basically purchase, I wouldn't say all of Europe, but at least the Eastern Bloc.
That's cheap. When you look at the Eastern Bloc, that's cheap. You get it at a discount right now, especially when you get it within rubles.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, happy April Fools. Did you get any tricks played on you at work?
No. Thank God.
we released one to the company. My team did. We did one where it was basically we put up a fake training that everybody's going to have to get their food handling license that we created training for because of all the popcorn machines that were now appearing in branches.
Yeah.
We thought it was clever.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure a lot of people were like contemplating throwing away their popcorn machine after that.
Yeah, they're probably like, son of a... Yeah. Yeah, good times, good times. One thing we did get, okay, so before we dive into some other action here, we did have the highest monthly, weekly, and quarterly close in Bitcoin history yesterday.
Yeah, right around 71,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which was, I mean, it was cool to see, right? Like just to see that close happen. And then, of course, we had our pullback today. Speaking of the pullback, what's our theoretical purchase looking like?
Okay, so assuming we bought October 27th, I believe, $3,000 worth of Bitcoin would have netted us 0.0855 Bitcoin. And at today's prices, that $3,000 investment would be 6118, so more than doubled.
We're still sitting more than doubled. Okay. Well, and the other thing, too, like, I mean, that's more than the last time we recorded. Because I think last time we recorded, we were at 5,804. So
yeah, it went below that $6,000 threshold.
Yep. Yeah. So,
but I mean, basically, since the all-time high, March 13th or something like that, you know, it's 73,000, but it's been kind of just sideways and meandering up and down all over the place for, you know, over 3 weeks now.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not uncommon pre-halving. Like, and if you look at the Bitcoin charts in the past, that's typically what will happen is you'll get like a rally. So the different part is that, of course, the price of what we've done so far for the rally. But pre-halving, you usually have like a month of sideways action.
Yeah. So now's the time to pick up your Bitcoin if you still want to grab it.
Yeah. If you want to get some cheap, not financial advice, but now's
not
the time.
But that's what I would do.
Yeah. And we've heard a lot of mumblings about CBDCs. I think the Fed, Jerome Powell, even mentioned that they're not even close to releasing a CBDC or even thinking about it. Whereas I think the EU has been getting pretty close to some of their CBDC action, like they've been testing. Obviously, China's already got going. But what's the one thing all these, you know, global currencies operate on?
Well, all the ones under us operate on SWIFT.
Yeah, so it becomes one of those things where right now SWIFT has been testing an interoperability solution to enable domestic central bank digital currencies to be used for cross-border payments. It ran 12 weeks of successful sandbox simulations with central banks of France, Germany, and Singapore, and 15 commercial banks, and planned to advance to a beta phase. SWIFT in collaboration with CAPE, or Capgemini, achieved CBDC to CBDC transactions between different DLT networks based on popular Quorum and Corda technologies, as well as fiat to CBDC flows between the networks and a real-time gross settlement system. They've unveiled a blueprint for the integration of the central bank digital currencies network into the existing financial infrastructure. So even if your country doesn't, if they participate in SWIFT, basically, even if your country does not have CBDC natively, it's still going to have a CBDC.
It's going to have a CBDC at the higher level.
Mm-hmm. Which means that everything that we're afraid of with the CBDC, where they can shut off your account, whatever the case may be, you know, if they've got negative interest rates in play, where they're going to start taxing you for saving, stuff like that, yeah, it wouldn't matter. They can do it.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. The fact that they can steal your money because you're trying to save it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Expiration dates on your money, like if you don't spend it in a certain amount of time, like that's terrifying.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of fear with CBDCs. I mean, I know people have, I've heard from fundamentalist Christians and stuff like that that get afraid of Bitcoin because, you know, it's a one world currency, those types of things. The CBDCs are the things that scare me the most. If Bitcoin stays in play, it's still the people's money. They determine that, you know?
Yeah. Whereas this, the quote unquote, the mark of the beast would be something else.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things where when you look at that and you look at it from like a different perspective, like Bitcoin, like even when they were trying to do, when they had what they called the block size wars, which is where they were trying to increase block size on Bitcoin. And that's where you got like Bitcoin Cash emerged. And then a fork off of that was that Bitcoin Satoshi's vision. Like, even though those things, like, they could not get all the nodes and miners to agree at the same time. And that's the important thing to remember about Bitcoin, is that no matter what changes they want to get made done, the miners and the nodes all have to, like, a majority of them have got to agree that they're going to go one way or the other. And it's hard to convince that many people to go with one thing or the other. Like, currently, it's almost impossible to change the core because of that.
Which isn't a bad thing. I mean,
no, it's not. No, that's not a bad thing at all. That's actually a good thing.
It's a great thing. Especially with the different forks that have happened. I mean, technically, if you've had Bitcoin long enough, you have all those different forms of cryptocurrency.
Yeah,
but you just look at the rest of them. The forks have not done well.
Mm-mm. No, they've not. And I mean it. That's the bigger reason why, you know, like Bitcoin Cash, the big reason why, like the small blockers were against it was because eventually and probably relatively quickly, the average person wouldn't be able to run a node at home.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's like, I run a node, right? I've got a Raspberry Pi with a 2 terabyte hard drive that runs the Bitcoin node. You know, I don't run a miner, but at the same time, like, that just allows me to have consensus and, you know, I get to view my own transactions, all that kind of stuff whenever I'm messing with Bitcoin. And it, you know, that doesn't cost a whole lot to set up and run, but you also, like, I'm also part of that voting delegate at that point too, right?
Right.
So I think that's why it's important to keep it kind of small. I know it's slow and everything else, but if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it.
Agreed.
And then, so kind of going away from that, like, just be wary of CBDCs. I think they're still coming. I know there's a lot of surveillance on us all the time already. And I think that's just, to me, that's like the linchpin, the last final straw, where they'll have complete control at that point.
Well, if you don't have access to your money, or they can just turn it off for you for, you know, doing whatever, maybe you voted the wrong direction or, you know, you didn't do anything. Maybe you're just mouthing off about some politician and they come for your money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the biggest fear.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right now, you know, I was watching Idiocracy again the other day and Frito Pendejo is driving his electric car, right? And, you know, they've determined that he's got a fugitive with him and they shut off the battery to the car. Like, that's a thing. Like, that can totally happen now.
Yeah. Enjoy your Tesla,
by the way.
Yeah. It's not so far flung in the future that that stuff's like, oh, no, that can't happen. No. Like, it's here now. You can be silenced. You know, social media-wise, you can be silenced. And if you don't have the biggest amount of followers or anything like that, like, all of a sudden you just fall off the face of the earth. If you have no money, you have no social media outcry other than your friends that are local to you. Like, nobody's going to know what's going on with you. I don't know. It's scary to me.
Yeah. That's why you keep the Bitcoin is the future, or the best hope we have of a decentralized future without somebody granting you permission. This is permissionless. All you have to do is get Bitcoin and then house it on the network, and it's yours.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Moving on to other news that we have going on here. We were looking at the ETFs in the Discord. We put the most recent chart from Farsight Investors on there. And we can see the whole turmoil that we had starting on March 18th, where we just had days of outflows, you know, net outflows every day. And then the 25th barely eked out a positive day. And then we had good news on the 26th, the 24th, the 28th, and then the 29th, obviously, was Good Friday. So the major financial institutions were already closed that day. And it looks like some of them actually took another day off today, too. We're seeing we had 255 million outflows basically from Grayscale. And there wasn't a whole lot of buying going on from iBit or, let's see, was this one, BTCO and HODL. Looks like, or no, it was Burr. So, yeah, quiet day on the ETF front, which is part of the reason why we see the volatility in the price today, where we had that kind of run-up going into the Sunday, and now starting to peel back down.
Yeah, and as things are getting kind of spicy, I mean, we're in the halving should be happening this month.
Yeah.
So we're not very far from that.
No, right now, and it varies depending on what clock you're looking at. So I've seen some say that April 20th. This one here is looking at April 19th. But it's 17 days away, approximately. It could be 18 days away. It's going to vary a little bit, but it's going to happen at block height 840,000 is when that halving is going to take place. So we have 2,683 blocks left. And that's where the kind of the catchy thing happens, where, you know, blocks are approximately every 10 minutes a new block is found or a new block is mined. So we have 2,683 more blocks to go. And then, boom, the halving reward gets cut in half. Or the reward, the mining reward gets cut in half. So, yeah, kind of exciting times, man. And normally, like, that's where the price goes nuts, though.
Well, normally it takes a few months for that to finally catch up to it, and then price goes nuts. But just with this run-up that we've had before the halving, it just makes me wonder, what's this cycle really going to look like?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I go back to that every time we've recorded, I think we keep on running into that question, like, is it going to be a shortened cycle? You know, what's going to happen here? Super cycle? I don't know.
Come on, super cycle.
Come on, super cycle. I never want to see sub $100,000 Bitcoin ever again when it crosses it.
Well, one of these days, that's where it's going to be at.
Yeah.
How far in that future is that? I don't know. But some people are complaining, man, I wish I would have got Bitcoin when it was only, you know, $7, or maybe when it was only 70 or 7,000. Or, man, now it's 70,000.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about when it's 700,000?
Yeah. What about when it crosses that $1 million mark? You're going to be like, oh, 69,000 was cheap.
Exactly.
You know, And when you look at the 2030 time frame, like, you're hearing all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, Kathy Wood, I think she's doubled hers to 3 million now.
Really?
By 2030? Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's entirely out of the question.
I don't either. And I mean, it all depends on what's going to happen, you know, with markets and all that type of stuff. Like, you know, the Fed, they keep on wanting to push off reducing interest rates, but I don't, you know, the interest rate cuts, but I don't know if they can.
Yeah, well, we'll see how well the economic engine I wouldn't say hums along, more like rattles along. But it seems there's definitely some distress going on.
No, there's
different markets.
There is for sure. Like there, everybody's saying like we're seeing signs of recession now, like at the beginning. And the other big thing too is that if those rates don't get cut, then when the federal government has to refinance their debt, they have to lock it into the higher interest rate, and I don't think they want to do that.
Nope.
So, yeah, time will tell. Anything else that you want to bring up today?
That's it for me.
We are taking signups for the newsletter. You can do that at www.thebitbytepodcast.com/signup. And we still have our deals tab going on where you can get your Elopal or a Ledger wallet if you decide you want to take self-custody of your Bitcoin or any of your other cryptocurrencies that you may be dabbling in. You buy it directly from the manufacturer, but we get a little bit of a kickback, so it helps support the channel. And you can get that at www.thebitbytepodcast.com/deals.
That's right. That way you can house your Satoshis. At least buy, I mean, not financial advice, but at least try and buy 0.01. That's 1 million Satoshis.
Yeah, and that's not a bad start. I mean, even today, I think that's still going to cost you, what, $700? But you don't have to do it all at once.
Yep.
And that, I mean, and $700 may be a lot of money to a lot of people. It's a lot of money to me.
But it's probably going to be worth a whole lot more in the not too distant future.
Yeah. And if you could just buy it and hold on to it, then you're set. So thank you all for listening. We're going to talk to you all soon.
All right.